Recording, right? Yeah, because.
Yep.
Okay. Today is what, the 10th? 11th. So it's 3:11 Sunday morning, it's adult Sunday school. And I'm teaching for Dave because how the pastor explained why. In case you're wondering why there's not this tall guy and there's this little short guy, you know. And so without further ado, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I pray that I hope you came to get some from God this morning. You know, because sometimes we get in the habit, you know, just come to church. And it's some families do, you know, it's something I do every week. And we don't come expecting something. You know, and sometimes maybe that's why we're falling asleep in the seats, because, you know, we're not looking, what does God want? You know, He speaks to His Word, you know. And so I'm going to open up in prayer and just be an available vessel, because God, He speaks to us through His Word. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, that You took the time to give us a book that reveals not only information, but who the author is. And You're with us as we study it, and we study it to get to know You, the author, to get to know Your heart, God, Your will. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You'll take my bumbling efforts and just my availability, and that You'll encourage and build up the members of the body here, and bless everyone who hears it over the internet. And may Your Son be glorified, and may we leave this place knowing You better, Father, and with the strong desire to serve You and dependence on Your Holy Spirit within us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My message is going to be this morning, heart health. I thought, you know, we do a lot of doctrine and stuff, so I'm going to speak about doing healthy things for your heart, and then we're going to talk about politics. Just joking. Because you know what? A lot of churches you're going to go into, you would go into this morning. We went to a Grace church twice because we're in the area, and they were talking about the Tea Party and politics. I'm from the pulpit, and I'm thinking, I came to get into the Word. I could talk about that stuff. I mean, when it's proper, like in Romans, it talks about to be under the government's authority, and God set that. They're His avenger, you know. Well, that's proper then to go off on that, you know. But you'll have, you know, feel-good things, psychobabble, you know. So what I'm talking about heart health, I'm talking about our inner man. So that's what I struggle sometimes. I don't know how the pastor always get these, you know, the names, the titles. Seems like he just comes to him or whatever. But I struggle even on the title. So the idea here, what I want to deal with is how do we know God's will? Number one. So how do we know that? Through His Word, right? And to really know His will, what He's doing today, what do you have to do? Rightly divide it, right? Study, show thyself approved, the workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, sometimes we just stop there. You know, we want to know how to rightly divide the word, and we want to be dispensational theologians, and it's there. But why do we want to know God's will for today? So we can apply it, right? And what I want to say, we all come up short. It's hard to get up here and preach and teach because you know you come up short. But when you understand grace, that God sees you in Christ Jesus as completely righteous, you know He can use you, right? He can use a person that's completely righteous in Christ. And so He can take imperfect people, because if we all had to be perfect, He couldn't use any of us, you know? But that's what grace is. And grace, when you're loving, that's what I'm going to kind of, it's dealing with Thanksgiving today, what God desires to bring out in us. But when you're loving, that's grace in action. It's not just knowing a bunch of facts. It's grace in action, because that's what grace, actually God's grace wants to do in us, is express His love and His truth. Because, you know, you get some people, let's just hold hands. And, you know, years back I went to Promise Keepers things to do some more investigating there than Promise Keepers movement. And you get, you know, that every wind of doctrine getting tossed to and fro. And the Promise Keepers, it was good idea, men to become better fathers, but it was, instead of taking the Ten Commandments, it was taking the Promise Keeper's promises, and it was, I'm going to produce this. You know, if you get under sound grace teaching and you're applying it, you'll be a better father, better grandfather, be a better husband. If you're a woman, a better wife, you know, a better son and daughter. So anyway, we want to apply God's words to our life. So a lot of times we're praying, what's your will today, God? You know, and I want to know your will. I want to rightly divide your word so I can get in your will. Well, one thing we're going to deal with today, God doesn't, it's about giving thanks. That's God's will for you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And Paul says, because this is what thanksgiving produces in us. Rejoice always. So what is God's will for us? To be rejoicing, right? But what's the opposite of rejoicing, do you think? And rejoice means what? Has the idea, I believe, joy over and over and over. But what's the opposite of that? Whining, complaining, right? And do you know God doesn't like His children complaining? We're going to see that in a minute. Anyway, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So God, one thing God wants us to, you know, when it says without ceasing, does that mean you can't go to work? You got to pray. You know, you can't talk to your wife. You got to pray, and then, you know, watch sports on TV. You know, or the wife on Facebook. You know, pray without ceasing is a continual attitude of prayer. It's a continual communication with God, and what a privilege, you know. And two, when you're praying, who you focus on? Yeah, you're not focused on situations. You know, and we're all going through things, and I have, me and Mary in the last couple of years, when I'm focused on the Lord, I don't feel beat up. When I'm not, you feel like you're just all beat up, you know, and you start worrying and things. So, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. So what is God, what's God's will? In everything, did that say some things? Everything. When we're going through things, this is living by faith and not sight, right? Lord, I thank you. What do you mean? You want me to thank you, Lord, for this? Do you know what this is twisting me up? Like that we'll watch that movie. I'm all twisted up inside. You know, me and Mary's watching a comedy. And God's will is that His children have an attitude of gratitude. You know, it's in our heart. That's grace. That's a response to grace. It's like, Lord, thank you. And how can we thank God, again, as we're going through things? Romans 8, 28. The Word will always answer our questions, won't it? If we'll get into it and if we'll study it and we'll apply it. And one other thing, a lot of times we want to give God thanks when I'm feeling happy, right? You know what I'm saying? Did He say wait? Give thanks or pray only when you're feeling good? Are you feeling spiritual? In everything, give thanks. This is God's will. When? In the dispensation of grace. And not only that, it's transdispensational. In a moment, we're going to sort of go back and look at Israel. And, you know, my old pastor, Jim Kirkwood, used to say, you ever see yourself in the Bible? You ever see yourself as a Pharisee? You know, when you start thinking you got something and looking down on people because they don't. Oh, look at them ignorant charismatics, Pentecostals. They, you know, they don't got this higher knowledge like I do. Instead of thinking them are my brothers and sisters and maybe humbly the Lord can use me to share with them. But they don't see the love. You know what I'm saying? Them are our brothers and sisters. We should be glad instead of, you know, oh no, they disagree with mid-ex dispensationalism and they got it all confused. And instead of having hearts of compassion, we can, you know what I mean, become a dispensational Pharisee and I got it. And I'm much more intelligent than them and spiritual than them. And on the other hand, they would come and say they think that they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're less spiritual. See? So it's kind of a double-sided thing. But God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's the whole motivation to want to serve Him. It's, Lord, it's a privilege. You know, I love to serve God. I love teaching. I love preaching. I love not only to, you know, you get behind the pulpit or whatever, but in everyday life. Like one guy, he just got out of an alcoholic place, and I gave him a ride. He was at 7-Eleven, and he just, guys, I'm messed up. And I just shared with him. I said, you know, you just need Christ, man. And I told him my experience, because God can take our past and work it for good. That's why we can say thank you to Him. And so, let's go to Romans 15, 4-6. It says, I'll give you a sec. That is music, isn't it, Pastor, when you hear them Bibles? You know, I've been to churches. I researched another church, Prosperity Word and Faith Church. And me and, remember Dean? I don't know if some of you know Dean. And his ex-wife were there, and nobody had their Bibles open. You know, except they said they had two people speaking. One was supposed to be a priest, the other a prophet. And they said, you know, lift your Bibles up and lift your wallets up and, you know, this. And I'm listening to the verses he's using, and I'm telling Dean, we got our Bibles open, right? I'm going, look at how he's taking that out of context. But my heart was grieved. I didn't think I was smarter than them. It was like, you need to know the Word and then rightly divide it. So otherwise, you know, they were spiritually pickpocketing them, you know. And so I was looking around and people didn't have their Bibles open, you know. So you always got to test, you know, test all things, hold fast to what's good. I don't care who's up here. If it's the pastor up here, if I'm up here, Dave, you need to test. Because sometimes we can be wrong in areas and God will show us, you know. And if you follow somebody just blindly, you know, you should know what your belief should be based on this Word of God. You know, I think of Pastor Stan that, like Kirkwood used to say, you know, I couldn't carry his briefcase. All that God did through that man. But there's certain areas that I know from the Scriptures he was a little bit, not the major, but I don't think he was accurate in that, you know. And but what he did, you know, and he was accurate in so many things. So you need, because you know why? If somebody's off in something and you just follow that person, then you're going to be off where they're off. So you need to know this Word, rightly divide it, and know it for yourself. And then your antennas will go off if you hear something that is inaccurate. So, and Romans 15, starting in verse 4-6. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, ain't that beautiful? The comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. May the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So, you know, mid-ex dispensationalists a lot of times get accused of what? Oh, you just stay in Paul's epistles. They never come to Faith Bible Church where he's preaching through the book of John or 1 John. All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped, right? So, I just finished reading the Old Testament again. Now I'm going into the Gospels and Matthew, you know, and I read them, but then I read some of Paul's epistles. Because, you know, all the Bible's for us, but some things are more important. You know, like in Paul's epistles, that's what's about us and to us, where we find out His will today. Yet, God speaks through His whole Word. And you can look at some of the things Satan got a hold of Israel, and you'll see some of the same things he's doing in the church today. You know how they start getting into just a little bit of mixing the Gentiles' religions, false gods, and they just apostatize. You see that today. I heard, Paul mentions names, so I'll mention it. Rick Warren, the one who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, that they're getting together with Muslims to show we both believe in the same God. They don't believe in the same God as the biblical God. you know. And you see how it comes? It's very subtle. Satan's very clever. And let's all get together and hold hands. And like I said, at the Promise Keepers, they're holding hands and, you know, nice songs and everything. But the not less don't discuss doctrine, you know. Yeah, that's what's going now, bringing everything together. And, you know, it violates the law of non-contradiction. Two opposites can't both be true. You know, if you got different ideas of God, they can't both be. You know, and the only way you're going to know is going to this Word and knowing it. Because if you don't know this Word, Jehovah's Witness will come knock at your door and they'll twist you and think. Because they got, like, you think they know the Word? They don't. They got verses memorized on what they told them what to do. But if you know the Word, I invite them in the house. You know, come on in. You know, because if you know where they're off, and you know what the Word says, then you can try and reach them, you know, because they're blinded. So we can look in the Old Testament and learn something. You learn God's faithfulness, right, to Israel. Look how faithful He was. They're stiff-necked people. They kept going off. God was faithful to them. But you better rightly divide the Word, or you'll think that He's going to deal with us the way He dealt under law with them, because that's why I went here first. It talks about the comforters of the Scriptures. Then go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5-11, because this seems like it's saying, well, you know, if we're going to learn from that examples, like God's going to punish us physically, and no, what we do, we learn that it bothered God the way Israel acted at times. But He disciplines us in a different way. And it astounds me that people think that God today is going to physically punish you. Because under law, it was mostly physical blessings and physical curses. Today, He disciplines us through the Word of God. Now, all Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. That idea is training, not punishment. You know, He uses the Word of God, and when we're going through things, He brings the Word of God. He's training us to be strong believers. I'm learning in my own life, because like I said, you get your mind on your problems and they burden you down, you know, and sometimes you don't know what to do. But I'm learning, Lord, teach me to wait on You. And instead of saying, Lord, when is this going to stop? It's like, Lord, thank You for allowing me to go through it. That's living by faith and not by sight. Because then you start finding out that I can persevere. I can keep going, but Paul had to learn it. He said, I've been convinced, or I've learned. Right towards the end, we're gonna see a little bit of that. But what I want you to see here is, and let's see, 1 Corinthians 10, 5-11. Now these things, he's talking about the nation Israel, because for time, I don't have time to go through, you know, every verse. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, rose up to play. What's he talking about? When Moses went up to meet with God to get the Ten Commandments in the 40 days he was up there, well, they just got impatient, right? So we don't told Aaron, we don't know where this guy's at, you know? Make us a god. I know Aaron just gave the people what they wanted. Sounds like the mega church today. Give the people what they want, they'll come in, you know? You got to picture this. Just thinking about it. They were in slavery 400 years. Slavery ain't a modern day thing. Know that? I mean, and when the Bible is written, and like when Paul was around, I believe if it was like 70 or 90% of people were in slavery, you know, in Rome. So it's not a modern day thing. But they were 400 years. Can you imagine how bad it was? Because they didn't have no civil rights or anything, right? Nobody, the king could say whatever, right? Pharaoh, whatever. And 400 years in bondage and slavery. Now God miraculously shows them, right? He brings them out with signs and wonders. He parts the Red Sea, puts all them plagues on Egypt, and all of a sudden, now they're out there, and what do? Yeah, they, you know, it's like, because God didn't do something right away, that can you find yourself there? See, that's what I'm learning, to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will mount up like eagles, right? Walking, I got it confused, they'll run and not be weary, walking, or run, you know the verse. As you wait, because we want God to move like that, right? You know, how come God? Why this God? You know, and like, He got the right timing because He knows everything, right? He got all the facts. God's omniscient, right? He knows everything, and so can, and not only that, see, because if you just know God's powerful, like you look at the sky and the universe, and you know He just spoke it into existence, right? You know God's powerful, right? That could almost be scary, because that's a lot of the gods of religion, right? False religion. You know, that's why they always want to sacrifice. They make up their own gods that they can appease, you know, in the flesh. And so, to know God's powerful, and then you know He knows everything. Now He's powerful and He knows, He sees in your heart. He sees your attitude. Uh-oh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? But, you got to know God is merciful. And He's perfectly righteous. And He's loving. See, people go, God's love, He'd never send anybody to hell, right? Well, it says He's righteous too, and He's just. You can't just take one verse, you know, and make a whole theology about it, you know. But when you realize God loves you so much, when you think of the cross, that's where He demonstrated it, right? And you think He knows what's best, and He never does anything wrong. So He's not going to start with me. So I know God's going to do it just the right time, you know. Somebody was telling me how God just come through 2 hours before I almost lost our house. It was like God had provided for them, you know. For us, He didn't provide that, but that's all right, because He has other plans, you know. But He'll do what's best for us, you know. And that's living by faith and not by sight. So they come out of there. Then they want to make another god, right? So, you know that story. Moses come back down. But then, God's still merciful to them, right? And they're going to the desert. What do they start complaining about? Now, they just got freed from bondage, how bad it was. Ain't got no water. Did you just bring us out here to kill us, Moses? Should have left us back there. And then what do they start complaining about? No food. Oh, I'm sick of it. First He gives them manna, this sweet, you know, bread from heaven. And then they start complaining about that, right? Are you seeing yourself yet? I'm seeing myself. God, you know, meets a need. He's brought us through how much in our lives? How much, right? You think back. Different things, and we're all different, right? Man, I think back when I was a kid and I ran away, and in the winter I stayed in the shed, you know. And the police told me, no, you didn't. You would have frozen that. I had this little cat. That's all I had for a warrant. And he brought me through that, and then the gang banging. Guns put to my head a couple times, you know. He brought me through so many things in my when you know, I used to party and stuff. I think, Lord, if not for You, where would I be? I'd be dead, I think. You know? And then sometimes people are going brought through divorces. Or a death. Child dies. You know, spouse dies. Financial thing. And God has been faithful and brought us through, right? That's why you can look back on your past, and you don't got to bring it up and whine and look back, oh, my childhood, you know, mommy didn't breastfeed me, so that's why, you know, I have problems today, you know. Or you can say, thank You, Lord, You brought me through that. See, attitude of gratitude, you know. It's not whining. God doesn't like whiners, and we're whiners a lot, right? Think about it, you know. He wants His children to be rejoicing, just like you think about your kids, You want them only to come to you and talk to you and ask you, hey, Dad, you got 10 bucks? You got 50? I'll tell them, you got a job? You'll get some money. You know what I mean? And then it's like, I gave you, you know, 50 last week. I know, but that wasn't enough. You know, everything costs, gas and everything has went up. Well, you ain't got a car, so why should that bother you, you know? Well, why don't you buy me a car? You know? So God doesn't like whining. And Israel, this where it says, we learn all scriptures for us. You know, God was upset with them. Like, and then you read yourself in there. You look at that and say, you know, I'm complaining a lot of times. How come I'm not thinking of the things that I'm blessed with? I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing because all these other things are temporary. And I was trying to talk to my niece. I believe she's a believer, but she, you know, she went to college, and they did just do some brainwashing, if you ask me. Actually, brain dirty, and you know, they just attack Christianity or anything good, anything about our country that's good that was built on that, you know. And not everybody was Christians really in our country. I ain't saying that, but they had a respect for the Word of God. And I was trying to tell her with our situation, I try and look at it through an eternal perspective that this is going to be passed. And she's going, oh, so you're saying you don't got a worker then? I said, I ain't saying that. She couldn't understand. When you look at things from God's perspective and the eternal perspective, they get a lot more in perspective, you know. And you realize, like Paul, you know, Paul's sort of weighing the scales. These light afflictions, wow. Think what Paul went through, man. Beatings and jail. I mean, he. Could you imagine somebody? Have you ever had anybody after you? Now imagine a mob guy got a contract on you. How would you feel every day you're walking outside? You'd be looking around because you know that dude's looking for you. You know, I remember years back I had these sort of biker guys after me, and when you walked outside, you know, you were like that. Or where I grew up, see, I only gangbanged from when I was like 13 to 15 years old, and then I got out of it. But, you know, when you're walking down the street, and I lived in the neighborhood that was a rival gang, so I had to walk through every night. You're looking, you know, like, are they going to jump out with bats? And it would happen a lot. I'd have jump over fences and, you know, things like that. So imagine one guy looking for you. I believe it was Paul had 40 dudes with the contract on him that said they weren't going to eat till they killed him. Yeah, 40 dudes. That's just one thing Paul had. The weight of the churches. And he says light afflictions because he looked at it through the eyes of faith and through God's eyes, you know, an eternal perspective. And so we see in verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. See, what I'm saying is that's not what God's going to do. If you complain today, because I'll tell you, I think we would all be destroyed. You know, because we complain a lot of times to God, you know. But one thing I will tell you, sometimes I have a hard time if I'm bothered by things and I kind of want to take it, you know, you want to take it to God and just say, I'm mad, God, because I have this high respect for God, and it's hard for me to talk disrespectful. But then, on the other hand, God knows your thoughts, right? He knows your heart. He knows your attitude. You know, it's like, you don't want to say, I'm mad, God. But like David of old, what did he do? See, because if you keep things bottled up sometimes, you keep pushing it, that lizard becomes a dinosaur, right? And it just explodes, you know? David, you'd say, how could this be in the Bible? He said, break their teeth. Curse their kids. That's a man after God's own heart. The Bible's real, man, you know. And but guess what? He didn't go do it, did he? He took his anger, his fears, when he was down, and what did he do? Poured it out to God. God's big enough to handle everything what we can give him. And so David poured it out to God, you know, and sometimes he would ask why. It's normal. It's human, you know. And at the end, you see his prayer, how God's just. He gave it to God instead of going and doing it himself. But he always gave God thanks. And you know what else? Why was David a man after God's own heart? I mean, the guy was set somebody up to a murder, right? He committed adultery with the married woman. See, how's that a man with God's own heart? Because he never turned to other gods. You know, he always trusted in God, and even when he messed up, and he didn't want to admit it, you know, but that prophet boy, was it Samuel? He got him about that lamb story, you know, and he poured his heart out to God, and then he relieved that. See, we run to God instead of running away from him, and he's looking for children with hearts of gratitudes. My brother-in-law, his niece and nephew, their mother always worked. That was her most important thing. And, it wasn't just, she wanted things, okay? It wasn't just, if you're a single mom, you got to work, you know? But she didn't give her kid time, but she would buy them things, you know? And they went over there for Christmas, and they gave them, the kids, the presents. Now, these were getting teenagers, they weren't 2-3 years old, and when they opened their present, they just looked at it, threw it on the side, went to the next one. They didn't even say thank you. I said, you know what? They would have never gotten another present from me. That was just like ingratitude, you know? And see, God doesn't want us to be spoiled, murmuring, complaining children, members of the body of Christ. He wants us to be a thankful person, to be understand what we have in Christ. You know, you think of Paul, what an attitude. He said, I'll even glory in my infirmities, right? Yeah. Even thank God in that. Why? Because God even works that for good, because when we're weak, he's strong, and he learned that he could do all things through Christ. Paul had to learn that. You know, Christ gave him all that information, all that revelation, right? But you see Paul saying, I've learned, I've been convinced. It's taking the Word of God and what? Applying it to the details and the situations of your life. That's how you grow. It's not just coming to church and hearing it. You know, it's not how much you know. You got to know things, right? But then, by choice of our will and dependence, because don't go trying to do it in your own strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things through my determination and my commitment. You know, there will be commitment, but it's based, committed to depend. Lord, I can't do this, but I know I can do it through Christ, and I'm committed to depend on you, Lord. And he'll produce the love out of us, you know, love and gratitude. Let's go to Philippians 4:4-13. And we say, what's your will, Lord? What's your will? Well, we know it's God's will that what? We give thanks in all things. So have an attitude of gratitude, right? And that, I think it warms God's heart. You know, not only when we respond to him in love, because he's the initiator, we're the responder. We love him, why? Because he first loved us, right? And it's just like, Lord, I can never love you enough, but I just love you because you love me. And, you know, like a newborn believer, you know, somebody just saved and just said, I just love Jesus. I think it warms God's heart, you know. That's like your kids telling you, you know. When she gets old enough to talk, I just love you. And, you know, just, yeah, and you want to just hug them. Yeah, because they're not trying to manipulate yet. Give me a little time. But they mean it, you know. You're special to them. And when we're just responding to God's love, and Lord, I want to serve you. I love, you know. And then we're saying thank you, you know. That's what you teach your kids, right? Say, make sure you say thank you. So, alright, we're in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Here's another thing, again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So, when you see some repeated twice in Scripture, it's emphasis, it's very important. It's important for God, because remember, God the Holy Spirit, through Paul, inspired this to be written. And this is Paul's letters. This is what's to us, right? So what is God's will today? And in any dispensation, to tell you the truth, rejoice. Again, so having joy, it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? And sort of, where does that come from? Let all your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So how can we rejoice? I think this can be taken one of two ways. I don't know, the pastor maybe could correct me. The Lord's at hand. One thing, He's coming back soon. You know, and I think the more, I don't see prophecy being fulfilled today except what's in Paul's epistles, what he says at the end of the day. But the more I see, the more I know. See, God's judgment, right now He's being long-suffering, right? He's holding back His wrath. That's why Hitler didn't get taken care of. That's why the rapist ain't, not yet. Them things will be dealt with in the future, but God's holding back His wrath right now. And I lost my chain of thought, so let me just go back here. But I just believe Christ is coming back. I don't know when. You know, sometime we're getting a little bit quiet about the rapture because Harold Camping, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right word to use. You know, I don't want to say idiot, so I'm not going to say that. But foolish and not rightly dividing the word to know the rapture is a mystery. And so, like on Facebook, I said, you know, he sort of gave, sort of like a Pat Robinson, black eyes to Christianity. You know, like when Pat Robinson, he led me to the Lord, but I sure wouldn't follow his theology. And sometimes he says things, I don't know, because he's getting older now, like God cursed, you know, California with an earthquake because of homosexuals. God didn't do that. We live in a fallen world. But when you don't really divide the word, you know, you get a confused thing. So, but the rapture is biblical. And we don't got to be ashamed of it. And I believe He's coming soon, but I don't know when. I've heard it said, live like He's coming today and plan like for 50 years. You know? And so, but not only that, I think this can be also taken, and I said, if somebody could correct me, you know, that the Lord's at hand. He's right here with you. You're not alone. You know, when everything you go through, everything you face, Christ is in you, right? And the Lord's right there. So, He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Anxiety like chokes. And you know where it comes from? Proverbs 12:25. I'll read it real quick. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So, what causes depression? Anxiety, right? But a good word makes it glad. If you know, when you get depressed and almost suicidal, it's because you have no hope. That's where you spiral down to depression. But if you know somebody who's at getting that point, give them a good word. You give them hope. And the Word of God is our hope, right? So you're sharing with them something, and maybe something what God's brought you through. And here's where, again, I did that. Some of you were probably, I think I did it here, about freedom from depression. It starts out with self-pity. We start pitying ourselves. And also anger. I get angry because somebody's not doing something, or the situation in my life isn't the way I like it. And we put up defense mechanisms. It's like somebody punches you in the nose. They got away with it then, but if you come up to me next time, I'm going to have my dukes up, right? Well, we have emotional defense mechanisms, and if they're in the flesh a lot of times. You know, it's like the woman says, husband says, "What's wrong?" What'd she tell him? Nothing. Silent treatment. You know, different things. Trying to get our way. And what happens? They don't work. So we get pitiful. And when you stay in that pity long enough, it spirals down the depression. A Christian can be suicidal. But at the same moment a disappointment happens, an insult or an injury, you know what's the spiritual response? Right here. Be anxious for nothing. Back to Philippians. Verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So, at the moment when, you know, we can either respond in the old nature, in the flesh, getting angry or worrying. I'm guilty of it, you know. And or we can respond with thanksgiving. And then the one leads to depression. What's the other one lead to? Peace, joy. He'll protect our mind and our heart, our thoughts and our emotions. You know, you don't got to go to psychiatry school to understand how the union mind and emotions. God's Word tells you. He deals a lot with that. You know, that's what psych means. Soul. Study of the soul. Well, they got to quit. They should quit studying men's ideas and studying the Word of God that is food for our soul and that explains God created us. He knows how we work, right? You know. So, this is God's desire. What? Don't worry. Well, how can I not worry, Lord? Me and my wife, this is so convicting for me. Lord, we got all these bills. Or maybe I got cancer. Or maybe this might happen. Or, see, we're going in the future and God's in the future. He knows. And if you know Christ, He's in it with you. You know? And He's our strength. And so, you pray. And that idea is worship. Realizing who God is. So you pray. This is how you don't be anxious. And you got to take every thought captive, Paul said, right? That's what I've been trying to... It's a battle every day, you know? Taking every thought captive. Because our flesh wants to have its thoughts controlling us, right? Satan outwardly wants what Mary calls them doubting darts. You know, fiery darts. And so, it's a battle. You know, and God has given us, another passage says, a total victory program in grace. If we'll just apply what we're learning. That's why we're here today. That's why we study in our private time, right? And he says, when we do this with thanksgiving, see, God, it's God's will we give thanks in all things. Believers should be the happiest people in the world because what we have. I feel sorry for unbelievers. They might have some money, you know, power, maybe good looks, you know, all outward. It's all outward things. Look at the magazines when I'm in there. I'm going, you know, how to get a good shape in 10 minutes, you know, or how to have sexy hair. You know, I'm looking in these magazines when you're in a grocery, you know, supermarket. I'm like, it's all outward things. How to make a multi-million in, you know, 2 days on the internet. And it's all outward things. It's nothing inward. Where God, he's you know, in Proverbs, he talks about a beautiful woman without discretion. It's like a gold ring and a swine snout. You're looking at that gold ring, boy, you marry her, put that ring on her hoof, and you find out you got a pig you married there. Young people want to be careful who they marry, you know. Even older people, right? Anyway, it's all outward where God's looking on the inward, right? He cares about the beauty inwardly. You know, and we need to, as we study the Word and apply it, and we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, we start thinking like God starts thinking. We look at people the way He looks at them with love. You know, because like we go to this rehabilitation place and there's That's why I miss once a month. Then I go there first Sunday and the first Tuesday night and preach there. And them people, some of them are weird. A lot of them are weird. I used to work at the place, but I used to go every morning, Lord, as I'm walking up, I'm like, love them through me. Let me see them as you see them. You know, and I think God used me there. And the other day I had mentioned the same thing. Just, Lord, just love them through me. And I said, I think when I worked here, that God affected some things. And one lady in the back was going, yeah. You know, because they see your love, you know, when you're applying the Word of God. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. See, we can't produce that kind of love, right? We're selfish, you know, just born that way. Our new nature, that's why you can't mix law with grace. Because the law fans the flesh, like our good buddy, I got 2 minutes, which I'm let the pastor relax back there. he was telling me, you know, well, I know we're not under law, but I think God uses the law today to, you know, convict us of our sins and stuff. And no, he uses Paul's epistles. He tells us when we're not walking in the Spirit. You get yourself under law, you're Romans chapter 7. 6 tells us we're not. 7 shows what happens when a believer or unbeliever gets under law. Because all the law is the knowledge of sin. It can't empower you, you know. But chapter 8 is a man not under the law, empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. A free man. And so, I'm going to be closing up. I'm going to jump down there a little bit. One thing in verse 8, Paul talks about, think on these things, see our mind. It's important what we got our mind fixed on, what we're taking in. You know, some of you, pastor, went to a dude's house. He said, you know, I'm struggling with lust and stuff. And there he is with the magazine on the table. Dirty magazine. Well, duh. It's like a computer, you know. What comes in, garbage out. Fill it with the Word of God, what happens? Fruit out, not garbage. So, we need to have our minds filled with these things. And then you see in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He didn't just say the things which you learned, which you saw. He said these do. Application. Right? And then in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul learned that. We got to learn it. If the great apostle Paul had to learn it, you know, as he went through things, what did he say? These things came upon us. God didn't bring them on Paul. Satan did, and the fallen world did, and people reject God's will did. But he said that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in God. And if our situations teach us that I can do all things through Christ, then it's worth it, and we can say, thank you, Lord. And he says in verse 12, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul didn't depend on himself. He depended on Christ. And as we're dependent on Christ, God's going to fill us with the heart of gratitude, and we're going to be so glad God uses us to touch other people, and then He's going to reward you one day. It's like, wow. You know, they used to go, what a country, that one Russian guy. It's like, what a deal to be able to serve God. With that, I'm going to close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace in Christ Jesus. We talk about grace, God, and sometimes we just get it like a mental stimulation or whatever. But everything comes through your Son. And it's your heart, Lord. And may your grace put us in action, God, empowered by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you've equipped us with everything we need. And I thank you for your gentleness, your mercy, your long-suffering and patience with us as we learn. And I thank you that it's you that works both in us, both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. And then we can only give you the glory. And I pray for Dave and his family. I pray you would use Dave and his wife to minister there, to plant seeds, to comfort, that they would see Christ in them. And I also pray for the message that the pastor will give. I pray that you just anoint him from within powerfully and prepare our hearts that we might receive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you for thanks for staying awake. Yeah. Thank you. Praise God. I got a lot of good books.